Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining me in the extra hour is Pat.
Hello.
And Steve.
Hello, hello.
Well, if you're just joining us for the extra hour, my goodness, you got to catch the first hour. You got to catch the first hour. We talked about America. We talked about anti-Semitism. Mm-hmm. And we talked about having integrity. Let me tell you, there's so much in an hour. But at the end of the extra hour, we talked about Zamzam's testimony and how she came to know the Lord. Oh, you want to tune in for this extra hour because we're going to just share more about what God did. Absolutely amazing. Well, you know, her testimony was so powerful because it was a major, major encounter with God.
Mm-hmm.
Totally, totally major encounter. And it was so powerful that for a whole year, well, actually, she was a Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
And it all started with her mother-in-law. We're talking about before, you know, holding a piece of the truth, the power of one person, what they can
Your effect, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the mother-in-law had a light.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you have a, you know, a huge light. It doesn't matter if you have a night light.
Mm-hmm.
What matters is that you have light. The light.
Yeah, right.
And because she had a light that was kept burning,
mm-hmm.
this Muslim woman was able to see the light.
Right.
I mean, you can never discount your walk with God. You can never discount, you know, your relationship with the Lord and the effect that it will have on people.
Right.
I mean, it's just absolutely powerful. So her husband came from a Christian background, and she goes to meet with the pastor after the mother-in-law passed away.
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting how she said it was, they were so sweet.
Yeah.
They were so sweet. It's the little things. It's the mm-hmm. God in you that you don't even realize. It's just jumping out at folks, and that's what they realize. They realize, wow, there's something different about you. And that little visit, that little time, if you ever think that, you know, oh, this is just one little kind act, or, you know, will they really appreciate this thank you note, or if I just drop by and drop this off, you know, is it worth mm-hmm. the trouble? Yes, yes, it's worth the trouble. Here's this pastor and his wife who stopped by. I'm sure they were busy like everyone else is busy, but they decided to take time out of their life, their busy schedule, to visit mm-hmm. with the family who had just lost a loved one,
mm-hmm.
to be there, to mm-hmm. carry each other's burdens and that way fulfill the law of Christ, right?
Mm-hmm.
And to be there for them and just, and they were, she, her testimony is, and they were so sweet.
Yeah.
And as a result of that, she says, I have questions. I have questions about this Christianity. I've got questions, and I love his approach. Well, let's just do a Bible study, a year-long Bible study.
That's right. Well, the thing that's encouraging about that, too, is like even after that year when she's just like, okay, I don't think Christianity is what I'm looking for, and she closes the door, and it's just like that love where the pastor says, we'll be praying for you.
Yeah.
And then she was like, what? What do you mean you're praying for me? And it's just being having that continual love even when others don't love you. Just continue to say, I'm just going to give you love regardless.
Right.
That's when it just stands out the most.
It is genuine.
Yeah.
I mean,
just being real.
You don't want to get into a proving match, a shouting match with someone. I mean, what is that all about? It's just
right.
It's love. Is the love of God is that powerful and that compelling? It's all you need to do. Yeah. I mean, they didn't go off in their flesh and say, we spent an entire year in the Bible. You know what I'm saying? We'll catch you later.
What do you think about what you said in the first hour? It's like you don't have an argument with a lie. It's just like, here's the truth. And you just allow the power of the truth to expose the lie. Because
yeah.
the truth,
wow, that's good.
You know, it's. I think you have said it many times before. It's like the person with the argument is at the mercy of the person with the experience.
Isn't that powerful?
Yeah, because that's the truth.
Listen, I can't give you theological reference right now, but what I can tell you that yesterday I was blind, but today
right.
I can see.
Right.
Take that up with whoever, you know what I mean? But he's good for me.
That's right.
You know, this is good. And you're absolutely right, Steve.
Yeah. And it's the exact same thing what the disciples said. I think it was in the book of Acts when they said, all we can do is tell you what we have seen the Lord
what
do.
We've heard, yeah.
Yep,
yeah.
See what we've heard. And all I can do is tell you what Jesus Christ has done in my life.
Exactly.
That's the power of your testimony.
And let's keep it there.
Absolutely.
Don't add anything to it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What has he done? And that's a testimony. It's so important we talk, especially about our testimony when we're coming to the Lord. Our testimony mm-hmm. is This was my life before Jesus.
Yeah.
Typically, that's probably a wreck, you know? Then there's a clear, crystal clear line of demarcation mm-hmm. of the day or the season or the time period where you encountered Jesus.
Yeah.
And then there is the after.
Right.
And the after should be the complete opposite of what your life was like before you had the clear demarcation of line of encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Because Jesus doesn't come to make our life better. Jesus comes to literally change and revolutionize our life.
Mm-hmm.
How do you know you had an encounter? How do you know you fully have come to the Lord? How do you know he's Lord of your life? Because you can look back at who you used to be and say, who is that guy? Who was that girl? And say, oh, I feel sorry for that guy. I feel sorry for that girl. You look at pictures and say, wow, that was me?
Mm.
That was me? I used to think like that. I used to do that. And that's an encounter with Jesus. I mean, today there's a gospel being preached that, hey, anything's accepted. And if you accept Jesus, it's just the better you. You know, it's a 2.0 upgrade. It's the way to a better life. And it's the way to life. Jesus doesn't promise us a better life. He promises life and life more abundant.
Right.
But you cannot have life outside of Jesus. True life.
That's right.
You can have an existence, but you can't have life. Because life comes from the true life source. And it's only in God. It's only in him. And so she comes to the end of this Bible study and says, oh, no, my conclusion is I'm staying with Islam.
Yeah.
You know, it's a wrap. Thank you very much.
Right,
you know,
right.
I'm intelligent and I figured this thing out.
Mm-hmm.
And then she decides that she's going to do a comparative study of the Quran and the Bible.
Yep. Yeah.
And she spends some time. I encourage you that if you're a seeker, seek God out.
Right.
Take the time between you and God. I often talk about the research, the research people take just to buy a TV, Steve, Pat. The research, LED, LCD, 42 or 60, plasma or not, LG, Sony, which one? Stand, no stand.
Right, right.
Best Buy, Target, wherever. It's like, wait a minute. How much did you study this and how many feet? And do we hang it on the wall? And what about the surround sound? And do we want to put it in this corner? And do we have to arrange this furniture? Wait a minute. All of your mind is consumed in this research about a TV?
Yeah.
And you won't spend 5 minutes
searching out God.
Searching out what would happen in eternity?
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't think about that before, but until someone introduced it to me, I thought, well, that kind of makes sense. You know what I mean? It does make sense. Listen, life is but a vapor. We're going to talk about the brevity of life, hopefully before the end of the extra hour, but life is but a vapor. You're here today, you're gone tomorrow, and you want to know where you will live in eternity. You know, when we pass away, we just stop living on this earth, but we will live forever.
Yeah,
that's right.
We will live forever. So she has this comparative study, and she was a seeker of truth, a seeker of what was right. She wanted to know. She goes through this search and says, oh, the Quran had a lot of good points. So she says, this is her testimony.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, but there's one thing I can't shake out of this Bible. I can't, this one thing. They talk about the love of God.
Yeah.
It was a new concept to her.
Mm-hmm.
Her testimony is that it's not mentioned in the Quran. The forgiveness of sin is not mentioned in the Quran. Let me tell you something. It's all about the love of God.
Right.
It's all about love is compelling. I like to say, you know, yeah, people always talk about the love of a parent. And let me tell you, if you're a parent, you love your children. I mean, it's an amazing feeling. They like to say the love of a mother. You know, all these great, powerful bonds. Let me tell you, there is no love like Jesus.
Yeah.
No human being can remotely come close to the love of God. You know, Steve, people will forgive you, but they may and probably not forget what you've done to them or against them. When you take the love of God, that he will forgive and forget and not count your sins against you. I mean, they're erased.
Mm-hmm. As far as the east is from the west.
I just have a question.
How do you do that?
I just have one question. Who can love you like that? Who can love you like that? Who?
Mm-hmm.
Who? If I said this once, I said it 1,000 times, fellas. I mean, I'm not in a position. Me and this guy here, I'm not in a position to turn that type of love away. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I mean, he offers this amazing love, forgiveness, guilt completely gone, freedom of depression. When we come to the realization, though, it's a byproduct when we just come to repentance and realize that I was on the wrong path. Mm-hmm. I was away from God. I didn't repent of my sins. A lot of people want, I'll sign up for the free guilt, depression. Yep, that's got to go. You know, bondage, you can take that too, Lord. But no. We're not trading cards here. He's not giving out free benefits, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
All of those things happen when you make him Lord, when you make him your best friend.
When you acknowledge it.
Yes.
Turn away from it.
When you leave this life of sin and refuse to have any other lover but Jesus. When you throw back the high school jacket in the ring and say, nope, I don't want any of the stuff that the devil gave me.
Yeah.
All right,
I'm done with that. I want everything that's Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So she encounters the love of God, and then she does something that's really powerful, guys. She begins to talk to Jesus personally.
Yeah.
Now, mind you, she had been filling herself with the Word of God, with the truth, for over a year. Then she takes the time to do a comparative study.
Yeah.
Okay? And then she does something real radical.
She talks to him.
But she just doesn't talk to him, guys. I believe that she prayed the most radical, the most powerful prayer that anyone in the face of the earth can pray. Now, let me tell you, there's a lot of prayers that go up every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of prayers that you can pray. And some people, a lot of people, don't get their prayers answered. But I promise you that there is one prayer that will be answered every single time if you pray it with utmost sincerity.
With your heart.
Lord, God, reveal yourself to me. It's the most powerful prayer you could ever pray.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is the one guaranteed prayer he is going to answer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so she has this encounter. I remember, Steve, walking on campus, on the college campus I was in. I was totally away from God. Had a relationship with the Lord in the past, but at this point I was totally away from God, totally lost, deceived, thinking that, you know, a form of God was enough, that I knew, since I knew enough about God, and I had grew up in a quote-unquote Christian home, that would be, I knew the truth.
All right, that'll do.
Yeah, that'll do. I knew of the truth, but I didn't know the truth. Huge difference. Huge difference. There's many people in America walking around with an idea of God. They've heard the Bible stories. They went to Sunday school. They went to vacation Bible school. They know who Jesus is, but they don't know him. And I'm going to tell you, friend, that's not enough.
Mm-hmm.
Because we know that many, many will say to him on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not?
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you.
Right.
It's not just enough for you to know God. Let me tell you something. He better know you.
That's right.
You may not say God. He said, who that? God, who that? I don't know you.
Yeah.
Now, who that them saying? Who that calling me Jesus?
Right.
Mm.
I don't know you, brother. I don't know you. He has to know you.
Yeah.
So I remember walking this campus. And I was a seeker like Zamzam, you know? And I needed to know. You know, I needed to figure this out. I needed to have some concrete, you know, resolve in myself. And I needed to know. And I tell people, listen, don't settle for, you know, I kind of, listen, I needed to know, like, I know that the grass is green and the sky is blue. You know what I mean? I needed to know that, A, Jesus, you're really real.
Mm-hmm.
Two, I want to know that you love me. I want to know. And three, you'll forgive me of all my sins. And I had a lot of sins. And I remember this green JanSport backpack I had in my back. I was walking, you know, these long lengths to get to class. And I'd pray this prayer. I mean, I've prayed this. I can't tell you how many times.
Mm-hmm.
God, if you're really real. God, if you're really real, show yourself to me. I need to know. I need to know. I need to know. Show yourself to me. I got to know. I can't tell you. I don't have a number. I cannot tell you. That was my prayer every day, all day, for a season in my life. And you fast forward the tape, and when I encountered God and I met the Lord, boy, did I know. I mean, it was just such a radical change in my life. I mean, it was like night and day, and never looked back. You know, and that's what God has for you. God wants to answer that prayer for you. Listen, you've been searching and you've been looking, and maybe you've been familiar with God. You got to shake that familiarity with God off you. Let me tell you something. You're not going to get close to God if by hanging on to what you learned as a child and what you've picked up from here or there, what you saw on TV. You saw the Bible series, and so now you're edumacated. Now you know something. Now you know the Bible. You're not going to have a true encounter with God until you really go after him and pray this really scary prayer. Not scary. This really powerful prayer. God, reveal yourself.
That's powerful because it's from your heart.
Yes.
It's not from your head. And that's the power of that testimony. It's like she spent a year. People have spent years. They spent decades seeking God with their head.
Yes.
But it's until there was a guy, you think about just the powerful encounters. There's a guy that I had talked to, a 10-minute conversation, and he was a believer. And he said, forgive me, I can't think of the specific years, but he said, it took me like 58 years to make that 18-inch journey from my head to my heart. And that is the powerful journey that God is wanting for you to take. Get out of your head, because God has said that to me many times. Get out of your head. And I battle with that because it's like God doesn't want you to figure him out because he can't.
Exactly.
He can't figure him out.
How can we?
He just wants your heart.
Like the pop can revelation?
Yes. And what he means by that pop can revelation is like, imagine God is all the oceans is in all the world, all the water, and the mental capacity of your head is a Coca-Cola can or a soda can or pop can, however you want to call it. And, you know, it'd be kind of stupid to try to pick up however much water you could in your own pop can and figure out God.
Like you got to figure it out.
Yeah. And the thing is, though, is God just wants you to seek him with your heart and just say, you know, I just want personal with you. I want to know you personally, and just show me. I don't want to have all these debates, conversations. I just want to know it in my quiet time that when I close my eyes that you're real. And just like you're saying, God, just speak to me.
Mm. Absolutely. It takes humility.
Yeah.
It takes humility. And why settle? Why settle for the old stuff or what? Yeah. Listen. You know, religion is not appealing. You know, I wouldn't want religion either, but I want Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I want Jesus. You were made and designed to walk with him, to have an encounter with him. He loves you.
That's it.
Yeah. He has a plan for your life. He wants to use you, forgive you. I mean, his heart burns for you. There is no other life outside of him.
That's right.
And I want to encourage you, if you're listening all over the world and you've searched and you're hearing about this love of God, let me tell you, he really, really does love you. He really, really does have a plan for you.
Yeah.
He knew you before the foundations of the earth. And the Bible says that he knit you in your mother's womb. You're no accident, friend. And you're not even listening to VFN Radio today by accident.
Mm-hmm.
It's all part of God's divine plan to say, yep, that's you. I got my eye on you, and I love you. Open up your heart and say yes.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at vfntv.com.
A strong-willed person can be a great problem solver, but sometimes a little bit difficult to live with. I'm John Fuller, and this is Focus on the Family Minute. Psychologist Dr. Debbie Cherry is a self-described strong-willed woman, and her husband has figured out a way to get the two of them on the same page when there's a problem.
If you will grab a hold of her problem-solving skills and get her to help you solve a problem, she's great at it. But if you just attack the problem and just say, this is what you need to change, she's going to fight you. So I think probably Jim's wisdom, without realizing it, he would come at this and say, I've got a problem. I'm having a hard time with this. Can you help me? And all of a sudden I spark and I'm like, oh yeah, I'm good at this. So try to engage her strong-willed skills that work and help her get involved in problem solving with you.
There's no doubt that understanding your spouse's strengths is critical to managing your conflicts with them. For more from Debbie Cherry today, stop by focusonthefamily.com/radio.
I want to encourage you, if you're not presently connected to a church family, if there's not a church family that you're connected to that knows you by your name, that loves you, that prays for you, that you pray for, you know, Paul's writing to the church of Ephesus, and he says, every joint supplies. And think about it. You're disjointed. You're disjointed. You're out of joint. You're not into the body because there's only one body. There's only one church. Jesus is the head of it. And you know, maybe there, you know, you've had a little struggle with wherever you were and you didn't fit and you were disjointed in that. But, you know, find a family to relate to. Find a church family to relate to. And not only show up because you want to be supplied, but show up and become an abiding relationship with God and be a supplier. You know, be a source, you know, for others as well. And it's like every joint supplies. So I want to encourage you. There's a lot of things. There's a big shifting taking place in the body today. And God's bringing people to himself. And you know, basically people that have been inside something are heading out. And people that have been outside something are headed in. And the truth is you need to go where God is calling you. And that's where you go. You go, you stay, you relate, you know, you function. And realize this is pleasing to God. This is pleasing to God. Ne'er one of us is all the parts or all the pieces. We need each other.
You know, John, the content and the topics and subjects that we've been hearing on the VFN TV Daily Live radio program has been encouraging. Is it not?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my goodness. I just want to encourage you, the listeners that have been listening, you know, if you've missed anything, I want to encourage you to go on VFNTV.com and you'll see a torch on the right-hand side. Click on that link and you'll be able to see all of the highlights. You'll be able to scroll back. You know, you might not have even known about the daily VFN radio program until like a week ago. But we have been posting all of the highlights since beforehand, and you can catch all of the highlights since before you've even been listening. Go to VFN TV, V for Vine, VFNTV.com, and then click on the torch on the right-hand side.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today is Pat and Steve, and the producer's hooking us up with the smooth jams here, Chris.
Yeah.
Well, listen, we talked about the most powerful prayer, the most powerful prayer you could ever pray. You don't want to miss this. Before we took the break, it's God, reveal yourself to me.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, if you're bold and you take that challenge, I'm telling you, God will answer that prayer for you.
Every time.
When God reveals himself to you, I mean, Zam Zam's testimony was, she says, the glory, the glow. She called it the glow. The glow filled the room, and I was taking a shower bath. She says a shower bath in the glow. She's taking a shower bath in the glory of God. God will reveal his glory.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh my goodness. And once you're in the Lord's presence, there is no other feeling known to man that is more amazing than the presence and the glory of God. We can talk 10 hours about that, and we have talked. Let me tell you, we've talked about remembering the wonders of the Lord. You want to go to VFN Torch by going to VFN.com and selecting the flaming torch you see there on your screen. And on the right-hand search bar, you want to get in and type in remembering the wonders of the Lord. And you'll hear about some of those encounters in the glory. And let me tell you, I mean, the Bible says that he'll change us from glory to glory. When you stay in God's presence, things that were on you will just come off of you. Because they can't stand in his glory. But I know, Steve, you have a word you want to share with us and who you're listening to.
Absolutely. Well, my body time, I was reading John. And in John 9, it talks about, you know, when Jesus is walking. And he's walking with his disciples and has done many miracles. Just powerful things of what Jesus has done. And in John 9, in the beginning of the chapter, in verse 1, it talks about saying the fact that as he went along, and it's the same he being Jesus, it says he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked Jesus, they said, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Well, Jesus replies, and in verse 3, it says, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life." And I just sat, and before I even read or wrote down anything, I just like chewed on that reality of like them walking, them being in the crowd, them stopping, them seeing this guy, and imagining the crowds that were around Jesus and the ears of the disciples and who they were going to listen to respond their question. And I had just finished listening to one of the segments recently about faith and having powerful faith. I think it was earlier this week, either way. And as I was abiding, the Holy Spirit asked me, he says, "What would have happened if there were people around the disciples when they asked that question? How would they have responded?" Because the disciples were focused on a man and you know, who sinned. And they were focused on the natural. They were focused on the horizontal. But Jesus says, no. He pointed him to his father. He said, "No, it's about my father."
Yeah.
Pointed him saying, "No, this was about so that the work of God might be displayed in his life." And that so just grabbed me, because it's just like what God is doing, the miracles that we've seen. And like you're just saying now recently, John, remembering the wonders of the Lord. And it's like the miracles of the Lord. We're walking in the book of Acts.
Yes,
we are. Seeing what God is doing, it is so important for each of us to pay attention. Who are we listening to? Because when God says do, God says obey, God says go here, because what God has revealed to me, it's just like by the level of your obedience, you're going to see the level of his favor. You're going to see the level, the level of his blessing. And it's so significant because, I mean, you think about in the book of Acts when Pentecost broke out, they thought the disciples were drunk. And Peter said, that he stood up and he said, "It's 9 o'clock in the morning. We're not drunk. It was just the glory of God." And so many people are going to put their quote unquote label on it. They're going to put their explanation on it, on what God is doing. But it's going to be so significant and crucial to us in this hour, watching what God is doing to seek his face.
Yeah.
God, what are you doing? God, ask him the question, not the people around us. What do you think God's doing? Because they don't know. They're not God.
Yeah,
but if we have that heartfelt relationship, when we have that conversation, it's like, okay, God, this happened. God, what are you doing? That's where we have power. That's where we have truth, is because truth himself is giving us a response, is giving us that explanation.
Yeah, and it also goes right along with the fear of God. I know, Pat, you're going to share with us about fear of the Lord, but fear of God is being more concerned. You know, it's saying, I've heard what people have said, but it, God, but what do you say about this?
Yeah.
And the fear of God is more concerned with God's reaction to your action than you are concerned with people's reaction to your action. You know what I'm saying? So it goes along with what you're saying, is saying, who are you listening to?
Absolutely.
Are you listening to the testimony of man, or are you listening to the testimony of Jesus, the testimony of God? And saying, look, don't get it twisted. Don't look at in the natural realm. God is doing something, and it's a great word that you're saying, Steve, because so many times we can be tempted to look at things at face value, look at things in the natural, and not looking at, there's a bigger picture. God has a plan. God is always working behind the scenes. We just have to be discerning, and we have to include him in the conversation. They were running and saying, well, what's this? You know, it's like,
And I think it was Tozer that had said the most important thing about you is what you think about God. And even to add on that, and this is not what Tozer said, but just
think
add
about
on that,
that.
Exactly. Is what does God think about you? And it's just like, do you are you even concerned about that?
Yeah. Well, before we think about it, before we even get to that question, it's like you're so, I love that quote, what you think about God.
Yeah.
Is the most important thing about you.
Because
if your perception of him is that he's up, he's the man upstairs with a ruler looking to spank your hand every single time you did something wrong, then you're not going to talk to him. You're not going to do what we talked, that Zamzam did in the first hour, the Muslim lady who came to Jesus. You're not going to begin to talk to him.
Yeah.
You're not going to begin to pray. And that's all prayer is. Prayer is a conversation between you and God, where you can begin to start talking to him. It could be him calling.
That may be him.
But you start talking to him one-on-one,
absolutely,
personally. And that's interesting. That's interesting because when you begin to pray from your heart, as you were saying earlier, not in your head, and you speak to God on a personal note as a person, right? Then you'll begin to hear. It's not about religious prayers or a form. You know, it's about God, Father, I love you.
Yeah.
It's about just talking to him in intimate terms and how you would talk to a friend. I mean, religion's about doing the holy tilt to the left and, oh, Lord, and, you know, all these is like, it doesn't take that.
It's not about what's on the outside. It's about what's on the inside.
Yeah. You know, and God's not looking for an oratorical gift when it comes to putting words together. It's not the combination of words and how we're saying and putting words together that makes him respond. It's what's burning in our heart, you know. Yeah.
I think it was Charles Simpson who, that was that quote earlier.
Oh, was it Charles
Simpson? It was Charles Simpson, yeah.
Wow. That's powerful. And it's important.
Mm-hmm.
It's important.
But yeah, and it's just genuine.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember when God had crossed my path with somebody and I was able to minister into their life, and they had a life full of religion and they never knew, how do I talk to God? And during a conversation that we had, he turned to me and he says, hey, you know, I think I talked to God this morning. And I was like, really? I was like, tell me about it. And he goes, well, he's like, I don't know if I prayed right or if I did it right when I was trying to talk to him. And I was just able just to encourage him, because so often religion puts this huge chasm in between us, thinking that we have to do all these things,
right?
And it's just like, no, the fact that you're coming to God, the fact that you're going to him seeking an answer, that you're searching him, it's when you begin to search for him with your heart. And that's that powerful moment of just like, I don't know all the answers, I'm not that smart, I don't know all these degrees, God, I just want you to be real, just sit with me, help me, because I'm a mess without you.
Help me with me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? My biggest problem is me.
Help me with me. You know, it was Charles Simpson with Charles Simpson Ministries. Amazing man of God. Amazing man of God. But he was the one that said that, see, the most important thing about us is what, or about you, is what you think about God.
Mm-hmm.
Because it'll change everything.
Mm-hmm.
It, access or no access. Mm-hmm. You know, perception is reality. And if your perception is that, you know, God's offended with you and he doesn't like you and he's there to scold you or he's far away.
All right.
You know, because a lot of, you know, there's a, you know, they just pick up, people just pick up these perceptions that, you know, he's way in the heavens. Let me tell you something. Yeah. The Bible says he's ever present.
Mm-hmm.
He's ever present. You know, take a deep breath in. Exhale. You know, he's everywhere. He's all around us. And hopefully we'll get a chance to talk about that today, that he's here, there, and everywhere. But if your perception is that he's far away, then are you really going to talk to him? How can the God that's far away really know what's happening in my everyday life?
That's right.
Well, the Word of God also says that his arms are not too short to reach out to us, and his ears are not deaf that he can't hear us. And listen, God is, not only is he near, his eye is upon you.
Yeah.
Because he loves you. He's watching everything about your life. The very hairs on your head are numbered.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so powerful what you're saying. Let me tell you, I mean, It matters who you're listening to, Steve.
It does.
That's so cool. I mean, it just matters who you're listening to.
And never how a man thinks who he is in his heart. So is he.
Mm, there you go. Wisdom from Proverbs.
Yeah.
If you think that, that's the way it's going to be.
That's right.
You know, fear is faith in reverse. If you think you can't, you're absolutely right. You can't. You won't. It'll be according to you believe in what you said. So who you're listening to matters. And it's important that you don't listen to yourself if you're saying the wrong things. get yourself lined up with the Word of God.
Amen.
Remember, right. 90% of abiding with the Lord, according to George Barney, you need a body. You need to get filled with the Word. It was amazing that even in Zan Zam's testimony, it was the Word of God, that reservoir of the Word that started bubbling out when she said her mouth was unlocked when she began to speak to God.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. God's Word doesn't return void. If it's there, it's going to come out.
That's right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, that's powerful. That's powerful. Pat, talk to us.
Man, this is so right in line with what God's been speaking to me, and it's just so powerful. You know, you guys have been reading The Fear of the Lord, and I'll read the chapter, and I'll go back, and I'll read it again.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll go back and read it. I just can't get past. I mean, this is the third time in this, and it's like I've never read it before.
Yeah. Well, who wrote this?
This is John Bevere.
Okay.
The Fear of the Lord. And I've been talking about this over a period of time, but God, we are made. And it's funny that you guys are talking about this, that we are made to coexist with God.
Mm.
I mean, His glory. We are the temple of God.
Wow.
And He wants to dwell in us and work with us.
Yeah.
And have a relationship with us and just coexist with us. But there's this thing that we got to deal with.
Yeah.
Think
about that concept.
Yeah.
God, the creator, manager of the universe, God who created the world in 7 days, God wants to coexist with us.
Yeah.
I mean, David says, Lord, who are we that you're mindful of, man, that you made out of dust? You know what? Really?
Yeah.
Really? That's the amazing love story. It's like, really?
Yeah.
You want to talk to me? And he says,
have you seen my life? Are you sure about this?
He says, absolutely.
Absolutely.
All right. And that's why a lot of people don't even, I'm just not good enough.
Yeah.
I'll never be good enough. I mean, consider that. I remember thinking that when I was younger, before I even knew God.
Yeah.
I can never measure up to that because my experience and my perception of God was so whack. You know,
And the truth is that they're right. We're not good enough.
Yeah.
I mean, it's His goodness. We have nothing, no good in us. That is a correct statement.
Yeah.
You know, it's only in God that is good. But He loves us in our ungood state, if you will, in our unlovable state. Mm-hmm. That's what makes us melt for Him. That even in all of that, you love me. You say it's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's exactly the way I felt. I mean, it was just, I cannot measure up to Him.
Right.
But nobody ever told me about Jesus.
Mm. Yeah.
Nobody told me there was access to Him through His Son.
Yes.
But so once I met Him, it's like, oh, okay.
The door.
The gateway, you know what I'm saying? That was powerful. So, you know, in my reading this, this specific chapters talks about the coming glory.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And we've been hearing about that for years and years and years, and we've seen spurts of it. You know, you remember the Brownsville revival, and then you know, down in Lakeland when God just started manifesting, and now even in Africa, you know,
the Great Awakening, Tonga.
Yeah, exactly. And God just began to speak to John Bevere. He says, you know, John, that what's coming next is going to be 7 times greater than what happened in Pentecost.
Wow.
7 times greater. Wow. And we look at the book of Acts as if, man, wow, that's, man, if we could only have that again.
Yeah. Right.
Well, get ready.
Yeah.
Buckle up.
Yeah. It's buckle coming. Up and buckle in, right?
Yeah.
It's coming. And God just began to just reveal, like, just through the scripture. He says, God, if this is true, then show me in your scripture. Obviously, it's somewhere in the Bible. And God just began to just reveal, like, He just went through scripture after scripture after scripture. But one main one that really stood out and that just sealed the deal for Him, it's written in Isaiah 30, and it says, the light of the sun will be 7 times brighter, like the light of 7 days. So it will be when the Lord begins to heal His people and cure him of the wounds that He gave them.
Wow.
This is Isaiah 30:26. 7 times greater.
Wow.
Like, wow. Amazing. it's going to be unbelievable. But at the same time, you know, God's just going to begin to deal with his people because we're not ready.
No.
And we just got to be honest. We're really not ready for that.
Yeah.
Because as I talked about before, there is consequences for irreverence.
Yeah.
You know, we got to start dealing with our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And one way or another, we're going to have to deal with it, you know, no matter who you are.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, it can't coexist together. The two are just polar opposites.
Well, that's the thing, the familiarity with God and thinking that we can approach God and the things of God, you know, running right into him.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, wait a minute, our hearts need to be in the right place. And I believe the reason one of the temples, and when I was in Israel and Jerusalem, when you go up to the Temple Mount, they have a narrow step and a wide step, and a narrow step and a wide step as you're going up. And my understanding of that is so that when you approach the temple at that time, you weren't walking up any kind of ordinary step there. You weren't just going to jog your way up to the temple, but it was to break your cadence. It was to break your step. It was awkward. You take a short step, and then you got to walk two more steps on this wider step, and then you take, you know, it was an awkward movement, and it's for you to prepare yourself to understand, to jog your memory that I'm not going up any regular steps here. I'm about to go to the holy place. I'm about to encounter God, and we need to have that. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And when I say the book of Acts, like, it's not happening, it's happening. We see the miracles. I mean,
amen.
My God, I'm a miracle. Yeah. You know, we're seeing, we've amen. Seen healings. We've seen God move miraculously on our behalf.
Right.
But
What's
coming is going to be seven times greater.
Greater glory.
Greater glory.
Wow.
And it's exciting. It makes me think about the dreams that God's even given me recently about seeing God's glory manifesting and others who've had those dreams as well. So, yeah, it's just going to be awesome. Powerful.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at bfntv.com.
You know, there's over 25 million children living in fatherless homes in America. The father's absence and the degrading of the father's role is just all around us. You know why? Because the enemy wants to destroy our perception of what a father is. But I got news for you. The reason why the all-out right attack is on the natural father, because Father God loves you and has got a plan for your life, and he's trying to break down, give you a life of no grid to be able to find what a father is. Let me tell you something. Father God loves you and has a plan for your life. As a matter of fact, he made a roadmap. He made a way to him, a bridge to him. He loves you so much, and he wants you so much in his family. He wants to be your father that he gave his son, Jesus Christ. Listen, you can go to meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org, where you can meet Father God through his son, Jesus Christ. We share a couple of our stories to kind of give you a grid that we're all the same. But you know what? God loves you and has a plan for your life. Find him. Meet him. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
John, check it out. I was going out to eat last week.
Uh-huh.
And I got to sit down at my table, you know, setting up my napkin. And this girl, she just starts running up and down at the different tables. And she's like, hey, do you have the Find My iPhone app? And I'm like, the what? She's like, you know, the app where if you lose your iPhone, you can find it. And I'm like, well, that kind of doesn't do you any good if you lose your iPhone. She's like, no, I use your phone to find my phone. And I was like, oh, they got an app for that? She goes, yeah, they got an app for that. I was like, oh, okay. Well, it was a cool thing. Like, as we started talking, and she started telling me about the app I needed to get, so I got that app, and I go, well, check it out. There's an app that you need to get. And she's like, really? I go, yeah. There's an app, vfntv.com. And she's like, well, how do I get to that? I said, you can go right on Android, or you can go on iTunes and type in vfntv.com, start telling her about the VFN radio, the daily radio program, everything that God's doing, God's news behind the news, the top three segments. You've got all the live programming. There's an app for that. And we start talking. She's like, wow, there's an app for that. I says, yep, check it
out. There's an app for that.
VFNTV.com.
It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation by God's grace to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. Joining with me today is Pat and Steve, and we were just talking about fear of the Lord, mm-hmm. not being familiar. You know, to be familiar is to lust for more and never being satisfied with all that he's doing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and we've seen the glory of God. I mean, let me tell you something. God is pouring out his spirit, and we've seen it among even our own expression. I mean, just Sunday, we heard an amazing miracle. And forgive me for not having the exact details, but let me tell you something. This woman shared how her heart was in a serious condition.
Yeah, congestive heart failure.
Mm-hmm. Major. Mm-hmm. Major. And she had fatigue, a noticeable difference. Mm-hmm. And God miraculously not only healed her heart, but the doctor testified to her and said, it was only a miracle. The doctor
heart.
Told her this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now she's at the gym three days a week. Yes, I am convicted, but I'm happy for her.
Yeah, exactly.
It's nothing more powerful to see the glory of God, to see the miracles of God that are happening right in our midst.
Yeah. She was actually scheduled for a heart transplant because she only had 25% actually working. 75% wasn't working at all. Her heart.
That's the God we serve.
Yeah.
That's the God we serve. And this is what we're seeing in our midst among us. I mean, we've seen tumors the size of a grapefruit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, totally reduced.
In the brain.
In the brain. Yeah, in the brain, no less. So let me tell you something. God is doing a major, major thing in our midst.
Absolutely.
And we're just believing that God's going to continue to pour out his spirit.
That's right.
And we're believing for a greater awakening that's already happening in South Africa. That it will reach the rest of the world and it will reach on over here to America.
Amen.
But God is on the move.
Yeah.
God's on the move.
Powerful. Beautiful.
Yes, yes. Well, you know, I want to share in the end of our extra hour here today is, you know, what will you do in the days you have left? What will you do in the days you have left? You know, regret is such a horrible word. You know what I'm saying? That word regret, it's like, to feel sorrow, remorse, disappointed, a sense of loss. It's not a good feeling, you know, and we can try to spend our time avoiding tomorrow's regrets today by seizing the day, seizing the opportunity. It's just a horrible feeling when you know that you could have done something, but you didn't.
Yeah.
You know? You could avoid something happening by you taking action, and now you're suffering a loss when all of that could have been avoided.
Right.
And you're just like, why didn't I either do that, or why didn't I take the wisdom, or why didn't I seize the moment? Why was I asleep during this opportunity? What happened? And so I've sat across way too many people over the years who have regretted what they did not do with their lives. They're coming to the end of their lives and they look back and they say, you know, wow, what happened? You know, because the older you get, let me tell you, life just starts clicking, clicking, clicking. A year used to be a big deal. Now it's like, that was 5 years ago? You know what I'm saying? 5 years blows by. And we thought a year would blow up. 5 years are blowing by. And oftentimes, they have this regret about many things. I mean, some, you know, they wish they would have finished their schooling as they reflect back. You know, it's one thing you hear. They wish that they would have taken care of their health a whole lot better. Mm-hmm. They say, wow, you know, I didn't eat right and take care of my body, and now I'm suffering all this type of stuff. Or they wish they would have been better parents, you know, and, you know, parenting is such a hard job, you know. I think a parent's always, no matter how good a parent is, they're always looking back and saying, I wish I would have done this or would have done that. You know, it's hard being a parent. being a good parent.
Yeah.
You know, and they look back at those things. And then some wish, and this is really a huge one, that they wish they would have made their decision for Christ and known God better a whole lot earlier than they did. You know, and that's a big deal. It's a major thing when you have to deal with regret and you look at it and say, okay, I'm at the end of my life here. And you think about resources, and natural resources like oil and coal and, you know, money is a resource, your energy.
Yeah.
Out of all the resources, and that's just listed just a few, but of all the resources that are available to you, the most precious resource, the most precious, valuable, is your life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's really the time that you have because, you know, you're really here today and you're kind of gone tomorrow. I mean, it just really goes so fast. The Social Security Administration, guys, according to their data, says that when a man reaches 65 years old today, he can expect to live to 83. And that's just, you know, raw numbers and based upon their data. But no one's promised tomorrow. I mean, tomorrow's written in a fool's calendar. You know, anyone can pass away at any moment. Children can pass away. We've seen that. You know, adults, teenagers. I mean, you can die. It's you're not promised.
Tomorrow's not guaranteed.
No. But the thing about life and living is that you can never go back and redo yesterday. You know, yesterday's over with. It's in the can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's in the books. It's done, and you can't undo it. You can't erase it. Any woulda, coulda, shouldas, it's over with, it's done. And so you can live with the knowledge and understanding that I've only got a limited amount of time left. I need to do what I need to do in the time that I have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And Psalms 90 verse 12 says, teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Teach us. We have to number our days. We only have a certain. Nobody knows how many days. Today.
Right.
Today could be your last day. The question is, would you have any regrets? Because today it could all be over. You could have another 25 years. You could have another 5 years. And the book of Proverbs says that a wise man, a wise woman gives thought to their ways. I mean, that alone should help all those who love to stay in a sad condition, you know, every day. Mm-hmm. Cheer up. Listen, if you only have, you know, a few days left or a few years left, you know, how many of those days do you want to stay sad? You know, and it's amazing how the little things annoy people and cause them to be in a bad mood. And you realize, you know, it was just rain. cheer up. It was just rain. It was just the ball game that you couldn't go to. It was, you know, there's more meaning to life than these little things that happen.
That's right.
And life for some people is like a bull with two horns. The bull sometimes just wanders aimlessly in a field, goes to the left, goes to the right. It goes from one shiny object to the other. Shiny object. They'll go, shiny object. And people are like that. There's no purpose or rhyme or reason. It's just wherever the shiny object moves, that's where I go. You know, it's a shiny object. And the thing about it is that, listen, it's time to jump on the bull.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to grab the bull by the horns, grab life by the horns, and steer it with vision and steer it to make life, comply with your vision. You have to have a roadmap of where you're going, or you're going to arrive to a destination by accident. I like to say, you know, you can live on purpose. Don't live on accident, you know, and arrive to a place that with vision, with God, you meant to get there.
Mm-hmm.
You meant to get there. And that's so, so important. The first step, though, is having a vision.
Okay.
You need to know what you're doing and why you're doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
The Bible says that without a vision, people perish.
Right.
Not people perish. And how many people are perishing in regret? How many people are perishing and not fulfilling the things that God has called him to do, and time's just clicking by, clicking by, clicking by. People are getting older and older and older. I mean, so many folks today are regretting the fact of decisions that they made or didn't make in regards to even their own finances. I mean, there's so many things that you look back and say, you know, why did I do that? Why didn't I do that? And could it be avoidable?
Right.
But vision helps, it helps to restrain us. It helps us not to move from shiny object to shiny object, but it gives us a direction and a place where we should go because we've taken the time to carve this thing out. That when your feet hit the floor, when you wake up in the morning, you should be ready to go that day because you're arriving to a place that, you know, life has purpose. Life has purpose. And so the question is, what are you going to do with the days you have left? Psalms 39:4 says, this is David crying out saying, show me, O Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know. Let me know the revelation experiential. Let me know how fleeting is my life. You made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is as nothing before you. Each man's life is but a breath. It's a breath.
Yeah.
And the question is, what will you do with the breath, the life that you have left? You know, this is the time. Oftentimes, you know, it takes an illness for people to start realizing, oh, I need to do this. Or you've heard people talk about a bucket list and I got to do that. It's like, don't wait for an illness. Don't wait for something tragic to happen before you start evaluating your life.
Do it now.
Your relationships. Do it now. Let me tell you, this is a gift right now. If you listen to VFN Radio, this is not just a good idea. Take the time. Carve this out. Write your vision. Number your days aright and arrive to the destination, the place that God has for you where you can close your eyes and say like David, I have served my generation well, and I am ready to see the Lord in full glory. That's the way we want to go out. What will you do with the days that you have left?
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.